Good morning. It's always a joy to have you with us on the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Wherever you are, in your car or at home, maybe drinking a cup of coffee, maybe wishing you could drink a cup of coffee, but you're too busy getting the kids ready for school. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us. With me in the studio this morning is Pastor Ken Keltner, our senior pastor. Pastor Ken, glad to have you with us this morning.
Great to be with you, Pastor Greg. We look forward to our guest today.
Yes, sir. Our guest is Brittany Stanky, who is a single young lady who has a great testimony. Brittany, God's enabled you to spend 5 years, I think you said, as a Christian school teacher.
That's right.
You have been coming to Brookside for how long?
About a year.
About a year. All right. Did you grow up in a church?
I did. Yes, I grew up at quite a few different churches, but most recently I was a part of a Baptist church plant in inner city Milwaukee for about 3 years.
Awesome.
Yeah, so where did you actually grow up then, Brittany?
I grew up in Brown Deer, and
then
when I was in middle school, however, my parents moved more north into the country, so then I spent my middle school and high school years in Kewaskum, but now I currently live in Brown Deer again.
Awesome.
Just did the little circle right back to Brown Deer.
Yes, one nice circle, exactly.
How long have you known you wanted to be a Christian, or just a school teacher?
My whole life.
Oh, okay.
I played school growing up, and it's what I always wanted to do.
So you were always teacher then when you were playing school?
Absolutely.
Now, do you have any brothers and sisters?
I had an older brother, yes. Oh. And then actually my parents did special needs adoption, so I had 7 younger adopted siblings as well.
Oh, I guarantee I could see you telling them to sit down, and you taught them. And
yes, they were homeschooled, so it gave me a really good opportunity to play the boss.
I bet they like that.
They had no choice is what it was.
Exactly.
You are going to learn to read right now.
How old were you when you trusted Christ as your Savior?
I would say I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I was baptized. When I was 7, I told my parents I wanted to be baptized then.
Taking that first step of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Are your parents still living?
They are.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they still in Kewaskum? Or?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
My mom and stepdad are, and my dad is in Brown Deer, and he's about to move up north and retire early.
Okay.
All right.
So graduated from high school, and then what?
Then I went to Moody Bible Institute, where I just really grew in my faith and in what I believed, and the Lord really gave me a lot of opportunities to minister while I was there, doing Big Brother, Big Sister, and being a part of a group called Acting on AIDS. And then I did my student teaching. I studied abroad, and I did that in the Czech Republic. And it was there that God really gave me a desire to be in missions in some way, shape, or form. And so my desire is to eventually wind up overseas if that's what He wills. And so that sort of sparked my desire even for the mission trip. And it was a friend from Moody, actually, a fellow graduate who I visited when I went to the Philippines this summer.
You went to the Philippines this last summer to do what?
To work alongside my friend, mostly teaching English, but also was able to incorporate teaching Bible truths as well while I was there.
Now, the Philippines is a place where you can speak English just about anywhere you go, right?
That is true. Yep. So many people, if they go to school, they've probably learned English.
Mm-hmm.
However, many of them don't ever practice.
Right.
And so we really encourage the children that I was meeting with to practice their English and to become just a little bit more comfortable and confident in their English speaking.
Right.
So this was children, teens, young adults. Who was it that you were working with?
It was a mix. I predominantly taught the high school English, and then I would teach math to some of the younger kids when they would come for tutoring.
Right there in the church? Did you have a rec center, or where did you do all the teaching then?
It sort of was a rec center in our idea of what a rec center is, but it was actually just, I was working in a mountainous village, and so it was just kind of like an outside area where we would do the teaching. They have a farm, and then they also do a program where you can sponsor a child because a lot of them can't afford education.
Okay.
And so the ministry, what they do as a way for Christians to minister to Muslims in that area, they provide these different types of things for people to get involved with. And so one of them is a sponsorship program. So their students have to come and do like values classes, so that's character building. And then they also will have them be paired up with a mentor. And they also have just different things like the tutoring that's available or if they need help with certain chores, they can come to the center. And if there's someone around, like, we'll come and just, we're there to really just meet their needs.
Right.
And so one of the main things that they do is the English teaching.
Sure.
As well as, so my friend, she does the sponsorship with college students. So she teaches and gives free college lessons to students as a way to become friends with the Muslims in that area.
English lessons. She's teaching English too?
Yeah, that's her predominant job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She teaches at a university over there.
And so predominantly they were Muslims that you were working with?
Yes.
Or was there a mixture of all kinds of religion?
They work specifically with Muslim tribes.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's on an island. A lot of the Philippines is Catholic predominantly,
mm-hmm.
But this island is specifically almost all different types of Muslims.
So they open to you being there?
Yes and no. They've been there for, I think it's been about 15 years now, and they've established a good rapport with the people in the area because they help with teaching them how to farm or teaching them English. And so they have these different avenues to get, you know, to know them, where they realize Christians are here to befriend them, to work alongside them.
Right.
And they just look for ways they can tangibly meet the needs of people to sort of break through that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a Bible college there where a lot of Filipinos will come, and Filipino Christians, and they want to reach out to the Muslim tribes as well. So that was a unique dynamic that I was working alongside other Filipinos reaching out to Muslims, and it was just as new to them as it was to me because they grew up in an area where they never intermingled with the Muslims. They lived in completely different neighborhoods, never crossed paths with them, sort of similar to a lot of Americans. There's a fear and a stigma that goes along with it, and so they just avoided them altogether. But it's sort of a new movement over there for them to actually reach out and give them the gospel.
You know, Pastor Greg, at our last missions conference, you know, we had Mike, and he pastors over in Singapore, but they've done a lot of work in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And he has worked with a lot of Muslims, and he was really excited our church about the number of Muslims
coming to Christ. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you got to hear him, but I mean, it was pretty powerful with what he was sharing with us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible college where you were located, there are a lot of Muslim tribes there. Why would they locate a Bible college, a Christian Bible college, in kind of a predominantly Muslim area?
Where I was working was separate from the Bible college. It wasn't the same place.
Oh, okay.
So I was working at a ministry,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of, they call themselves an NGO, a non-government organization.
Right,
and
right.
So that's how the people there know them by.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible college was actually, I believe, in a different island, but they were interning from to come over to reach the Muslims.
I got you.
All right.
So any encounters with opportunities to get to know any Muslims and then share the gospel with them? And
probably one of my favorite lessons that I was able to teach was, I was there during June, so it was Ramadan, and so everyone was fasting during the afternoon. And so I gave a lesson on fasting biblically, because
mm-hmm.
they do it, you know, as just a work, as something to gain favor with Allah. It's not like how we would see fasting. And so I was able to give a really just a personal testimony and search, we call it the Holy Book. So we search the Holy Book about, well, why should we fast and what are the reasons? And so we talked about seeking the will of God or praying for healing and times when we need discernment. And that's, you know, when we can go and fast. And that was revolutionary to them. They didn't realize that fasting would be something that you could do as a relation, you know, a relational way for you to have an encounter with God and to seek Him. And so I was able to share a little bit about times mm-hmm. in my life when I fasted and how I was able to find the will of God in doing that. But I didn't do it as a way to gain any type of merit with God. And the same with prayer, because when they pray, it's not for supplication. It's simply rote repetition, again, to just gain merit. It's that relationship is missing. And so whenever I would speak about God, I really just emphasized my relationship with Him. And that mm-hmm. was something that a lot of the kids would further open up a conversation to really talk about it.
Right.
I was also able to share a lot of Bible lessons because they have basically the same Old Testament. And
yes.
So I would tell what are called the prophet stories, and I would get, you know, to talk about Joseph, and I'd talk about Abraham, and mm-hmm. we would just talk about the people, because a lot of them didn't really know the prophet's stories very well. They just maybe had heard their names. And so I was able to teach them in English about those people from the
mm-hmm,
Bible
mm-hmm.
and then apply it. And a lot of times they look at it just as historical, and that's the only reason to, you know, gain knowledge from them. Not, these are people for us to learn from, their examples. And so that was a neat opportunity I was able to have.
How many weeks were you there?
I was there for 3.5
weeks. 3.5 weeks. Okay. Were you responsible for raising your own funds to get that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I used predominantly my own funds. I had saved up and worked some so that I would be able to go.
So eventually, if God gives you leadership, you would like to be serving in some foreign country?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Brittany, what was like your typical day? What was your typical day like when you were there?
In the mornings, we typically would have a lot of just prayer time. We would get together as a team, and a lot of us, there was some training that was going on, which was fantastic for me because these interns had all just came.
Okay.
And so they were going through training, so then I got extra training too. Mm-hmm. And something that was just really exciting for me was a lot of the training that they were getting was a similar approach to what I've been learning here working along the refugees in the Muslim community in Milwaukee, and that they use something called Discovery Bible Study.
Okay.
And they use Old Testament figures, and they teach those stories, and then they just sort of give a challenge to have the Muslims then go and share these stories with their friends, with their family, and to pass it along. And you ask, you know, what did you learn about God? What did you learn about man? And how can you apply this to your life?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the same approach that I learned here in Milwaukee. It was the same thing they were doing across the ocean. And that was a really affirming experience to see that, you know, the Lord is reaching Muslims, you know, in a very similar way.
All right, so you would do this training in the morning, then I guess diet, you know, they fed you pretty well. You had lunch.
They
and
did.
Then if they're fasting in the afternoons, then what would you guys do?
Well, it was actually a really neat thing to see that a lot of the Christians I was working alongside, some of them would be fasting as well during this time. And that was really a challenge. I mean, obviously, I wasn't able to do that yet, having, you know, needing to get acclimated to everything over there, a difference in diet and, you know, a difference in weather and time change and all of that. But
right.
It was really neat to see that many of them would also fast during this time and pray for the Muslims they were working with.
Right.
And then I would prepare my lessons. And then the evenings after school is when the children would come and I would be able to have the English lessons with them.
Well, folks, we've run out of time, but I want you to join us again in a couple of days when we are back with you, because we want to talk about how God transitioned Brittany back here to the States and has begun to open up an opportunity to meet with Muslims here in Milwaukee area. And so be sure to join us in a couple of days. Meanwhile, whoever God brings into your life, it's not an interruption. It's a divine intervention. Let God use you. It could be that you're the only voice they'll ever hear with Christ as the message. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.